ready for takeoff.
Welcome to the Remote CEO Show. My name is De Niro Bartolini, aka De Niro B. I'm an acclaimed business coach, and my moonshot is to change the face of work and business forever. With each episode, we bring you some of the most inspiring and insightful interviews with 6, 7, 8, and 9-figure entrepreneurs to crack the code on how to build your remote empire and have fun while doing it. Thanks for stopping by, and let's get started.
What's going on, CEOs? De Niro B here with another episode of the Remote CEO Show. Today, I am here with Lomit Patel. Lomit is the Vice President of Growth at IMVU. Prior to IMVU, Lomit managed growth at several startups, including Roku, a digital media player manufacturer that IPO'd, Trusted ID, acquired by Equifax, Texture, that was acquired by Apple, and Earthlink. Lomit is a public speaker, author, advisor, and was recognized as a mobile hero by Liftoff. Lomit's new best-selling book, Lean AI, is part of the Eric Ries The Lean Startup series. This is going to be a deep conversation, so stick until the end. Lomit, how are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being on the show today, Lomit. Before we dive into the questions, can you give us a background of your story and what led you to writing a book about AI?
Yeah, so, you know, what really inspired me to write the book about AI was that, you know, I've been practicing this for about 3 years, and it's been something that I've been really interested in. But what I came to realize, because I speak a lot of conferences and I write a lot of articles, that a lot of companies aren't really doing this. And this is really the future in terms of how companies are going to be able to grow better, faster, and smarter. And so, you know, I felt like, right now, the advantages really lie with the big companies that have the resources to do a lot of this stuff. And, you know, this is a good way to really sort of even the playing field and really give those upstarts, the startups and the small and medium-sized businesses, to really be able to compete on the same playing ground. So, you know, for me, it was really an opportunity to really give back to the whole industry that's, you know, that I've been part of for over 20 years.
For sure. So we live in a world that is creating more data than ever before, yet businesses are still not taking full advantage of it. So when do you think businesses will catch up and use data to its full potential, and how will that world look like?
Yeah, so, you know, clearly, you know, the biggest challenge and opportunity is really data right now, because that's what really gives companies insights into who their customers are and potentially use that to find more customers like that. And like you said, you know, data by itself is just like having money in a bank account where it's just sitting on in a savings account where you're getting nominal interest. You don't really get anything out of that. To really get something out of that, you have to go and make the right investments. And the same thing goes with data. You know, data without extracting insights and value and acting on those in real time doesn't give you, your company any benefits. And so, you know, today, you know, the great thing is there's more data than ever before. The challenge is, how do you take that and really turn it into something insightful? And that's, you know, humanly really isn't possible, because, you know, for the most part, you know, most humans don't work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So you need a machine that's able to really act on those insights in real time. And that's where, you know, AI really comes in. Because the way I define AI is really simply as a machine that can really think and act like a human when it's got the right data at its disposal.
That's great. Now, a lot of my listeners are still at that small business stage and they're in the process of building a bigger company. So how can they leverage AI to make better decisions and grow faster?
It's a really good question. So one thing we all have to remember is every business starts small. No business is ever big to start off with. But the difference between the ones that are small and that end up becoming big and becoming successful, it really comes down to this concept that I've come up with, which is called the velocity of learning, which is ultimately, you know, it's just like personal development. It's like, you know, it's like, how can you increase your knowledge and learn what's working and what's not working? And so when it comes to growing businesses, you know, the big challenge is, outside of hiring people, is really, how do you figure out how to acquire customers, and then how can you generate revenue? And so to do that, you know, you have to run a number of different experiments, whether it's experiments on how you're acquiring customers in terms of who is the right audience that you want to acquire, what's the right messages in terms of the advertising that you're going to use to attract those customers. And then when they come into your product, you want to run experiments to really figure out what is it about your product that will keep those customers around and build that loyalty so they'll continue to stick around in your product, and what will enable them to go and tell their friends about the product. So it increases your word of mouth. But and the other part of that is, you know, how are you going to ultimately monetize those customers so that you continue to add value to them every day? You know, and so all of that, the long story short is, there's no one playbook that works for every business. So what I've found, you know, fortunately I've, you know, been in startups for over 20 years, and the biggest thing that I learned is that you just have to have a really good process to really figure out the right answers for that and develop your own unique playbook to each business. And the way to do that is really running a lot of like A/B tests. And the more A/B tests that you can run across all of these different parts of the user journey, the better and faster and smarter you're going to get to really figure out what works and what doesn't work. And the difference is, the way we used to do this before in growth was used to run a lot of these experiments with humans that were sort of executing a lot of these experiments. And so humanly, there's a limitation to how much you can get out of running these experiments. But with a machine, if you add a machine, you exponentially increase your ability to change from running a couple of hundred experiments to what we do now at the company where I'm working at Enview. We run like tens of thousands of different experiments a month. And the difference is enormous, because now we're learning so much more, so much quicker, that's really becomes our superpower. Because now we've got this data, we're learning quickly about, you know, what is the right message, the right audience, the right experience, and, you know, what's going to continue to build that loyalty, so that we create this flywheel of using data, coming up with the right experiences, and building loyalty that ultimately keeps going round and round. And as that continues to go around faster and faster, that's how companies go from being a small business to becoming, you know, to get to your first $1 million in revenue, to becoming 10 million, compounds to 100 million, and to like a billion, you know. But, you know, I haven't been through that journey myself through a number of different companies. It's the same process. It's just, you know, how quickly can you continue to build on your wins? Because it's the small wins that add up over time that build big businesses.
That's really amazing. So conveniently enough, I own a digital marketing agency and I focus on Facebook and Google ads for e-commerce. So would these systems work for agencies as well? I mean, how could I set up AI to work for my clients?
Absolutely. So, you know, as you're very familiar with like Facebook and Google, they have their own platforms right now. The big difference, the fundamental change of what I'm talking about versus what currently exists, is that Google and Facebook and a slew of other partners already have some form of AI and automation that's built into their system. So, you know, you can do a lot of these things that I'm talking about. The big difference is, though, when you run these just on Facebook and Google, you're running them in silos, because Facebook and Google, you're only sharing data that's related to their platform. So they only know how they're doing compared to themselves. But the big difference is, and this is one of the challenges with agencies, is that the different clients that you work with, they don't share you all of their data, right? For the most part, they don't. But that's the treasure trove, is having a holistic view on really knowing how's Google comparing to Facebook, comparing to Apple Search, comparing to, you know, all these other platforms that you might be spending money with. And when to answer your question, yes, you could definitely use like this AI intelligent machine, because you could use it across all the portfolio of different clients that you're working with. But the big difference is, you know, right now, in, you know, because a lot of the work that goes into orchestrating these experiments that you're running, as well as managing these campaigns on Google and Facebook, you pretty much have Google and Facebook telling you how much they think you should be spending each month. And between you and me, I've never had any agencies ever tell, I mean, any partners ever tell me to spend less money, right? But now, you know, but now with this intelligent machine in your agency, you pretty much have them competing for the budget, because the machine kind of makes decisions in real time based on whether Google is more efficient than Facebook or any other partner. And it's making these decisions in real time data, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And the big paradigm shift is that instead of looking at channels in silos, it looks at them as in one singular view. So all of these partners end up competing for your budget instead of the other way around.
That's awesome. So for those who are listening to the podcast in the future, by the way, we are in the midst of the COVID-19 outbreak. And with COVID-19, consumers are changing the way they shop, they consume content, and they ask for services. So what do you think is going to happen to companies that don't adopt these new technologies to surf the wave of change that is coming their way? Are they going to be left behind?
So, you know, the good part about any crisis or pandemics, I've never been through anything as serious as this. But having said that, you know, one thing that you know is going to happen is that companies have to start thinking differently about how they run their business. And the biggest shift that's happening right now, which is very unfortunate, but there's so many people that are getting laid off potentially because, you know, businesses have to cut costs, because the survival for any business, the lifeblood of any business is cash flow. But outside of cutting costs, businesses, one thing that's not going to change, whether it's now or any time in the future, is businesses still have to figure out a path to grow, which is, how can you still continue to acquire customers? How can you drive revenue? And so, you know, what I feel, you know, with COVID-19, what's going to happen is, you know, a lot of these things that I talk about in my book around AI and automation, you know, because I've been speaking a lot about this subject at conferences, I know for the most part, there's only about 5% of companies that have really adopted this to the level that I've talked about. But now, just based on, you know, the success of the book, mm-hmm. I know that a lot of people are open to new ideas. So this is really the time for any business to really start having discussions around digital transformation, about how AI and automation is going to be part of that transformation. Because one thing that you will get is I feel more companies are going to start pivoting and embracing this. Because, you know, you can't really hire more people to do the work now because you're trying to save on costs. So you need to leverage technology to do a lot of that heavy lifting. And on top of that, you know, you want to get more predictability into your business, predictability and reduce risk. And that's what you get when you apply AI and automation, is that the machine. And so a good example is, you know, for us at Enview, since this whole pandemic started, you know, most people cut back on their budgets. I don't know if you found this on the agency side. A lot of clients kind of cut back on a lot of their advertising spend. And that's kind of the natural human reaction, is let's cut back and sort of regroup as a team. Add the challenge to that is everybody's working remotely. So it's harder to, like, you know, figure out, you know, what do they want to do? While with us, all of our execution is automated. So what our machine ended up doing was giving us signals that, hey, costs have gone down. At one point, we saw costs go down about 40% on Google and Facebook, and our machine came back with a recommendation pretty quickly in early March. It's time to increase the budget, and I can, like, we can still spend more money and still hit our goals, which are, for us, we optimize towards the cost to acquire a customer and the return on investment. So we've actually increased our budget over 80% over the last 2 months. And we were already spending, you know, close to millions a month. So imagine spending even, you know, multi-millions and you still having even the same or level of efficiency. And we wouldn't have been able to do that, you know, without the confidence of a machine that had all of this data and real-time insights of looking at these platforms. And so my best analogy is that we're ultimately like day traders, you know, at least the way this machine works. And, you know, best time to buy stocks is when the prices are going down, right? And so the same thing, best time to buy advertising is when costs are going down. And this machine is, the way I built this machine was to think like a day trading machine, which is the way a lot of the big financial institutions have built their machines, because a lot of this trading is all done automatically as well. And that was kind of part of my inspiration in terms of, you know, whether there's a crisis or not, how could we build a platform that can be predictable on giving us confidence to make key decisions in good and bad times.
That's awesome. So let's talk about the future. Are you doing any speaking engagements about this topic to promote the book and the technology? And how will this technology look like in the future?
So where I see this technology going is, and so, you know, this, the book that I wrote, Lean AI, is part of the Lean Startup series. And the big premise around the Lean Startup series, it's all about how businesses can function and get more done with less. So it's all about being lean, small versus bloated and big teams. So where I see things going in the near future is that, you know, teams are going to get smaller in businesses. There's going to be more adoption towards technology platforms like this intelligent machine that's going to do a lot of the heavy lifting, and the roles that the people that work there are going to move away from being like, you know, task oriented, like, you know, setting up this, executing that, analyzing data. All of that's going to be done through machines, and it's going to become more up level around, you know, being more strategic. So it's about how do you support the machine, make sure the data going into the machine is correct, because ultimately garbage in is garbage out, right? So you got to make sure the data going in is right. And, you know, as you know, right now we haven't figured out a machine that can really do great creative, right? So, you know, the machine can tell you, you know, that these themes or these messages are working, but you still need the human element to create those emotional messages. So that's where a lot of the human elements of supporting the machine is about. What are the inputs that need to go into the machine to help it be successful? So creative is going to be one area where I see more growth happening. I see around maybe just having like one, rather than having a whole team of data scientists, it would probably be like one data scientist who can potentially look at the algorithms and just make sure that there's no biases that are happening in the machine, because the machine's only as good as the data going in. So you want to make sure there's good data going in. You're going to make sure that the data going in isn't over-indexing into anything that might ultimately end up attracting the wrong types of customers that you're looking for. And then the third part of that is relationships, because ultimately Google, Facebook, all these different partners you work with, it's still a human relationship. You got to know a person over there to have discussions. You got to have, you know, had the relationship to really get access to new features and betas that they might be bringing in that you can potentially plug into your machine. So, you know, I think it's going to be more about human relationships, and ultimately a machine can't motivate a team either, right? So you still need leadership skills to empower your team and keep them motivated, you know. But I feel a lot of this is going to be done more remotely now than before, where everybody just had to be in one place doing stuff.
Awesome. Very interesting. Yeah, so sorry, I actually asked you two questions in one. So what are your plans for promoting the book? Are you traveling right now? Are you doing a lot of conferences? And where can people find you, you know?
Yeah, so for me, unfortunately, the timing for my book coming out was right when COVID-19 hit. So I had all these like speaking opportunities that were set up where I was supposed to, I mean, the book was part of O'Reilly. So O'Reilly do these huge conferences, like mega conferences. And I was going to be speaking at all of these conferences and then doing like book signing events. But all of that's like, no, unfortunately, I can't do that. But what I pivoted to do now, and I'm really fortunate to have the opportunity to be on this podcast, but I'm doing a lot of podcast interviews to help get the word out. And so a lot of these conferences that I was going to speak at have turned into virtual events. So I'm speaking on virtually at different conferences. And then on top of that, I've been a contributed writer for a number of different publications. I've continued to write articles to help get the word out that talk about different aspects of the book. But most importantly, my biggest way of getting the word out has been LinkedIn. I have a huge number of followers on LinkedIn. And so I've been, just talking about different updates about the book and what's going on. And that really helped the book go viral, because a lot of people on LinkedIn, this is actually a great time to be on any social network, because people have time, right? People are looking for things to do. And so this book became very popular primarily because a lot of people that obviously work in business want to know what's next, what's coming next. And so this book, has became very popular because a lot of people started talking about it and sharing, hey, I bought this book. And, I don't know how many books on Amazon get over 30 to 45 star reviews right out the gate, but this book has kind of gotten that. So that's been, I've been really thankful to everybody that's bought the book and putting those reviews out there, because that kind of helps Amazon also has started to promote the book and get behind it as well.
That's great, Lamit. Thank you so much for being on the show today. I know my listeners will want to read more about this topic that is super important to their business. So where can people find you and your book?
Yes. So, definitely reach out to me on LinkedIn. My name, Lamit Patel. I connect with everyone there. But outside of that, I also have a blog. It's pretty much my name, lamitpatel.com. So people can reach out to me on my blog. And, I would also encourage anyone, definitely go to Amazon and search for the book Lean AI, you will find it there as well.
All right. Awesome. Lamit, thank you so much for being on the show today. And I'm looking forward to having you back for your next book.
I'd love to be back. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
And this is it for today, CEOs. Thanks for staying with us until the end. Can I ask you a big favor? Can you please leave a review? I know the podcast app is not super straightforward, so if you don't know how to leave a review, just DM me on Instagram at DeNiroB, DeNiroB, and I will send you the direct link to the review section. And to show you my appreciation, I will answer any business question you ask me during that conversation. So thank you again, and I will talk to you again soon.